I'm making an attempt at technology again tonight. And those of you who know me know that I don't do technology very well. But we've got three videos that we're going to kind of stick in this lesson tonight. And we have one, hopefully, that we're going to open with.
My name is David Gillette. Right now, I am a seminary student here at Nazarene Theological Seminary. I'm studying a Master's in Divinity, emphasizing intercultural studies. Back in the fifth grade, as a 10-year-old, my teacher made all the students pick a country in the world and study a particular group of people from that country. Somehow, I landed on people Maasai in Kenya, and ever since then, I've been wanting to go to Kenya. And so when I came to this school and learned about the different programs they have, 365M, where it sends students around the world for 10 months, and Kenya was on the map, I said, wow, I have to go to Kenya.
365M stands for 365 Days in Mission. The whole concept of 365M is one concentrated year that students are engaged in an ethnography. Instead of just learning data and facts, saying, how do I learn how to be listening and learning from this environment?
I think that David is going to love his experience in Kenya. I think he is going to come back just with a deep, deep love for it. There's a common quote that I like that says you can't wipe the dust of Africa off your feet. And I think that once David has experienced Africa, that saying is going to be very, very true for him.
I'm going to be doing quite a bit in Kenya.
He's going to be shadowing us in a lot of different things that we do. My name is Jim Koppel, and I am the founding principal of Strategic Applications International and the founder of Servant Forge. Our approach is to work top-down, bottom-up. We come alongside our partners and our clients. We meet with government leaders, policymakers, funders, key influentials in a particular country, but we also work at the grassroots level. We go in with an attitude to listen, and at both levels, and to try to build a bridge between those two groups in order to produce the kind of change necessary to eradicate poverty. He's going to be working on two major projects, our gender-based violence initiative and our waste management initiative. We're very concerned about trash in the slums and the lack of waste management and sanitation in those areas. So he'll be attending meetings, he'll be following up on specific tasks that come out of those partnerships. We're going to be doing a major university education initiative on gender-based violence this year, and so David will be a part of those meetings. There'll be tasks that come out of those meetings. He'll be overseeing a lot of their implementation. He'll be doing a lot of interviews in the field. We intend to take him with us in our work in South Sudan, Kenya, as well as Ethiopia. We're working on conflict resolution as well as water projects and sanitation projects in those areas.
I think that this trip will change David in some pretty dramatic ways.
Everybody who goes into another culture runs into culture stress, and we want that to happen. But we want him to realize that in this process, those stresses will strengthen him and realize that he's dependent not on his own ability to get things done, but he's dependent on God.
I have no doubt that this experience is going to be transformational for him, and that we need to invest in these kinds of programs that are long-term, that produce sustainable solutions, and that we're investing in individual lives, because I'm confident that David's going to come out of this experience a changed person, having changed the environment in which he's working, and the future ministry that he engages in will be completely different as a result.
365M. 365 Days of Missions. This is a neat program that they've started, and it's interesting. I'll be taking a group of our teens to Philadelphia here pretty soon for a week of missions work at Front Step, and I was listening to these and putting this together, and I thought, you know, I need to incorporate a lot of what they're saying into our trip. So there's some really good stuff here. The questions that they asked when they put this program together. How can we help people with cross-cultural divides? How can we bring people together? How can we lower that cross-cultural stress level? And also, how can we bond them together? How can we bring an understanding of the cultures? How can we rethink missions? How, you know, you have to always keep things fresh, come up with new things. You cannot go with the theory, no matter what it is. You cannot go with the theory, well, we've always done it this way, and this is how we're going to do it. I don't care what you're doing. You've got to keep up. How can we rethink missions? How can we rethink education? We have the seminary. You know, what can we do to improve the education at our seminaries? How can we make people as effective as possible in their ministry? As Christians, we all have a ministry, and the leadership said, you know, we need to help people to become as effective as possible. How can we do that? How can we show people? How can we train them? How can we help while learning from other people in other cultures? And this is a big one, and we're going to keep coming back to this one. How can we help other people while still learning from them? This is a key. And it all has to do with working with people with other cultures. And I want to just stop and take a minute here and talk about this idea of culture. Because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding here. And some people make this maybe bigger than what it should be or more foreign. You know, it's another culture. It's foreign. It's true. You go into a different country and you go into a different culture. And the more different that culture is, sometimes the harder it is then to understand them and to relate to them. And so sometimes there are huge cultural differences. But even here tonight, there are people that represent different cultures. We have different backgrounds. We have different ways of thinking about things. Sometimes there's different age groups. We have different cultures just in a group of people, you know, right here in Mifflinburg. And so I don't want you to come into this missionary lesson and say, well, this is, you know, cultures of overseas. I want you to listen to this tonight and think about how it can impact your view on the people around you who might not be tremendously different than you, but who are still different, who still have different ways of thinking about things, who still have, you know, different ways of doing things, who have those ways of doing things that just get on your nerves, you know? We all have different cultures, different backgrounds. Sort of an amusing, you know, I grew up in Lancaster County, and you think, well, it's 100 miles away. You know, how different could the culture be? Came up here to Snyder County, and I'm telling you, it is a different culture. I got here shortly after Andy and I were married, and he says, I'm going to be home for dinner. Make sure you have it ready for me. I said, okay. And he shows up at noon and says, where's dinner? I said, dinner's at 5. It'll be ready for you. You know, I mean, just something so simple. And another one that I will just never forget. In Lancaster County, if you ask for pot pie, you get a pie with a crust. And inside that is gravy and meat and vegetables, and they're yummy and delicious and wonderful. And so I came here, and we got pot pie. And they slapped this plate of noodles down in front of me. What is this? I want pot pie. And Andy said, that's pot pie. I've grown to love it. But, you know, it's just even so close, 100 miles, and there were cultural differences. There's things that I just did different, and I had to get used to it. And those are amusing little stories, but sometimes these differences can have bad effects, too. Sometimes we can say things or do things, and we just come off wrong, and we make people offended or angry or frustrated or whatever. And so we, no matter who we are, where we live, or who we're working with, we need to be aware that there could be a cultural difference here. Even somebody real close to us, the cultures are all around us, and we need to pay attention to that. Okay, that's my little commercial for cultures. So back to 365M. This started in 2007, and the teachers of missions at the Nazarene Universities kind of came together, and they discussed some, you know, innovative, new, creative ways to prepare their students to minister cross-culturally. And they said, what are we doing? How could it be improved? All those questions that I started out with, how can we improve the education? How can we improve missions? How can we improve our people? How can we help them? and the world is changing rapidly. I mean, just in technology and so many different things. Things are changing, and it's changing faster and faster and faster. And we need to keep up with it. The leaders need, the church needs to keep up with it, both on the leadership level and the lay people level. We need to keep up with this changing world. And we need to keep up with it because that's the only way we're going to be effective. If we're still doing the stuff that we did 50 years ago, it's probably not going to be effective. I don't do computers. I don't do the whole technology thing. But, you know, I work with these teens, you know. So I'm trying to put stuff on Facebook, and they're telling me, Heather, that's so outdated. I'm like, you know what, you're going to have to meet me in the middle here. You know, that's as far as I can go. But you've got to at least make that attempt to take those strides if you're going to be effective. If you're going to continue to reach people where they're at, they're moving on. And if you don't move on with them, you're left behind. So we need to keep up. So they asked the question, what if we moved the classroom out to the places around the world where students could learn from their surroundings? It's fine to learn in a classroom, but when you're immersed in something, that's when you really learn. You can learn things out of books. You can learn things off of web pages, whatever. You can read about stuff, and that's good. But until you've actually experienced it, you really don't know it. It's when you've actually lived it that you can say, ah, now I get it. So these educators said, how can we move out of the library and into the real world? How can we move from theory to reality? And they came up with 365 days in missions, which got abbreviated to 365M. And this kind of resulted, Nazarene Theological Seminary kind of partnered with Global Missions, who partnered with the regional and local leaders all around the world. And they all came together and they said, hey, let's try to do something here. Let's run with this and see where it takes us. So these different organizations within the church came together, these different people, and created 365M. The goal, and this is really important, the goal was to have students discover how to learn from those around them. How to learn from those around them. That was the goal. You'd think, well, seminaries are supposed to, it's the leadership teaching the students. But they said, no, learn from the people around you. Not necessarily from us, but from the culture that you're in. That's where you're getting your learning from. And that's key. So the students work with missionary mentors, and they kind of learn to develop partnerships. And this program is a lot about partnerships. First of all, you partner with God. These people that go on these, God calls them. And as we watch more of these videos, you're going to hear that. God is calling them to this endeavor. And so they're partnering with God. And then they're partnering with the missionaries. These missionaries kind of act as their mentors. They kind of help with the culture shock and ease them into things. It's the missionaries that give them the different jobs on the field and say, okay, here's our goal. Here's the resources that you have. Here's a few guidelines. Run with it. And so they're partnering with the missionaries. And the missionaries are kind of their lifeline. They're partnering with other people. Their family, their friends, the people in their church, congregations, whatever. Just like any support or any missions type thing, you need prayer support, you need financial support, you need that emotional support. And so they're connecting with a lot of different people to get that support that they need in all those areas. And then they're partnering with the people that they're working with. They go over and they're given a task or a job or whatever. And they need to find out, tell me how we can do this. Let's solve this problem together. Let's reach this goal together. Let's partner. Put our resources together. What can we do here? And so they're partnering with the local people that they're working with. And this idea of partnering is huge. It's not an us and them kind of a thing. And we're going to look at that more. It's a partnership. That is so important. Next video. Oh, Andy's moving. Sorry, I should have given you more of a warning. This is another great, great testimony. These videos I thought were really neat. I was really glad they had these. This couple's kind of funny. So here you go.
When I was 13, that was when I first felt God calling me to do something about the brokenness in the world. It's everywhere, and people are suffering, and He is the answer. And I'm grateful He helped me realize that at that age. So I felt the call to do something, and He made it really clear overseas missions had something to do with it. And I began to pursue that. And when I went to Trevec, I minored in it. But then I think I slightly became disillusioned. It wasn't what I expected. And I loved youth ministry just as much, so I went that route. But just recently, a month and a half ago, we were talking with our new senior pastor, Pastor Terry Wayman, and he asked me what I'm passionate about. And I said, I love teens. I love college students. I love helping them find their identity in Christ. And I also love mission work. I also love going overseas. I love working with people of different cultural contexts and getting to know them. And he could tell there was something different in the way I said that, and he brought my attention to it and mentioned, is there a calling there? And I immediately broke down into tears. I was almost sobbing. It became so real immediately. God pushed through my heart, and he said, what are you doing about that? And we talked more about it, and that week, that a couple days later, I talked to Sarah and I said, we need to pursue this. We need to see what this means, because God's really opening the door in my heart for this. So we decided to knock on some doors, see what happened. And I called one of my professors, Kathy Morey, and she mentioned possibilities in 365M was one of them. And it immediately, I knew immediately that was what we needed to see, if it was possible. But we were really late in the program. Beyond really late, like half a year late. And yeah. We said, well, we'll see if there's any possibility. And we started, and all the doors flew right open. This is all about learning in context. The whole point is to go somewhere different, to a different context, a different worldview. Learning the entire time, but not just learning from books and from online classes, learning from the people, learning from their stories, learning from their worldview, and allowing that to impact to the way we minister. And not just to them, we're not coming in saving them, we're coming in living life alongside them and experiencing the transforming power of Christ together. And this whole program is about going and being present.
From here, I think we're both engaged in learning more about how this lifestyle is practiced and how to make that into our lifestyle for every day. And then our future goal is to become full-time missionaries. We would love to do this full-time, to build those relationships and make it not just a year thing, but our lifestyle for the rest of our life.
We would be missing out on a big opportunity if we didn't have schooling going on in the process. I firmly believe in being a lifelong learner, and what better way to put that into practice than being in another context, being in a place where there's a whole other worldview, and trying to process what that means. And to try to do that all on our own, we've been there and we've done that, and it was very difficult. This is much more exciting because we'll have people guiding that process. We'll have people walking through it with us. And it will be a lot of work, but it will be worthwhile work that has immediate benefits in the culture we'll be living in.
Couple. And so the students obviously are tremendously blessed by this experience. And this is a fantastic program from the student point of view. Now let's shift gears and kind of look at the missionaries' perspective. You know, are we just burdening our missionaries with more work, you know, which we don't want to do? They've got enough. And from the missionary perspective, they get to delegate some of this work. They can reproduce themselves, which is nice. But one of the things I thought was really exciting, in the curriculum here, they had the testimony of a missionary. And they said, you know, these students come and they bring a new way of learning. They bring a new perspective. They bring a new creativity, a new excitement to the work. You know, they're young, they're energetic, and they're enthusiastic. And sometimes that's really contagious. And so these students show up with this passion, and it just kind of rubs off on everybody around them. And so the missionaries are kind of thrilled by that. And these students are stretched. They're going into these places, and it's hard. And the culture shock is huge. And you know, these kids, these students, they're really stretched, and that's difficult. And some of them really struggle with this. And it's exciting for the missionaries because they're the mentors. And so they get to work with these students, and they get to help them to grow and to develop into these better Christians, these more mature Christians, these wiser Christians. And it's exciting. Any of you who have mentored anybody, you know, it's when you hit the end of, not you never hit the end of the road, but, you know, once you get down the road a little bit and you can see that person turning into so much better of a person, and you think, you know what, I had a small part in that. That's exciting. That's a thrill. And so our missionaries get to impact the next generation of missionaries, the next generation of mission workers, no matter where they end up. And they get to mentor these students and turn them into these great Christian people that will go on and change the world around them. And so the missionaries are very excited about this as well. And it's a great blessing for them. It's not just a one-sided thing. We're going to watch a third video. And in this video, it starts shifting more from, okay, fine, this is something that's, you know, over there. Pay attention in this video to how we can bring this concept to here, to our church. She's got some great stuff to say, so.
Well, whenever I was a young girl, I went to a district children's missions day. And I told my mom after I came home that I was going to be a singing missionary. I kind of went away from it and decided I wanted to do my own thing. But whenever I was at NYC 2007, God called me back into it. He said, Sarah, you are going to be a missionary. I want you to study people from different areas. For me, the most important part of 365M was my mentor, Ruth Turner. I've never been under the leadership of a female pastor. And she taught me a lot about what it meant to be a woman in ministry, what it meant to learn about the culture that you're in, and how to apply that in the studies and everything. I worked with a church plant. The church plant was called Millbrook, and they've only been operating for 8 years. And their main focus is to work in the community. They're all about youth projects, all about moms and tots groups. They do things in the community where it's not about the institution of the church. It's about being the church individually. And it was just a great way. It opened up my eyes to see that ministry could be so much more than what I thought. Millbrook Church of the Nazarene and 365M really taught me that church could be every day. It could be with the person on the street. It could be with the senior citizens in the sports club on Tuesday nights. And it could be with the teens off the street on Wednesday night. It could be everything. And it opened up my eyes to see the church is part of the community. And we are the church. If you just go in as a volunteer missionary and don't have this academic aspect that 365M has, you don't get the holistic learning. It's kind of like a 360-degree view of learning. You're not just sitting in a classroom taking notes. You get that from the online setting, but you also get to apply what you learn in the culture. So whenever you're doing an ethnography, you're not doing it based on books. You're doing it with people in that culture. You get to say, how does this culture inform what I'm learning in school? And it just works in one big circle. And I would say that 365M was definitely a life-changing experience for me. I went in as a college graduate who had a little bit of ministry experience and a little bit of short-term mission travel, and I came out as someone who is more culturally aware and someone who was more confident in ministry. That was the big thing. I was more confident in what I can do in ministry and what God can do through me in ministry.
I was thinking of watching that and thinking about what she said there, and I thought, you know, the Sunday school quarterly curriculum never saved anyone. Caravan never saved anything. They're just curriculums. They don't save people. VBS doesn't save anyone. It's not those things that save people. It's when these people come and they're smiled at and they get eye contact and somebody cares about them. It's those leaders, those teachers, all the people involved that show that they care, that show that they loved. We get people saved because of VBS or because of Caravan or because of Sunday school or whatever, but it's not those things that are doing the saving. It's the people that are doing the saving. Do you see the difference there? It's that I care about you. I'm glad you're here. Let me help you. Let me pray with you. That's what saves people. To be an effective church, we need to move out of the building. The building is not the church. It's those relationships. It's the people. They had some interesting ideas in here, and this is going to go completely against, you know, a lot of the traditional beliefs of missions work. And when I was saying that, you know, VBS never saves any of you, anyone, you know, I could see some of you kind of looking at me like, wait a minute, I'm going to take you up on this. You know, I hope you saw where I was going with that. And this is going to be another kind of stretching point for you because it's going to go against kind of what we always think. Ministry is not our helping other people. Ministry is not our doing stuff. Ministry is not our giving of our time, of our resources, whatever. That builds up kind of this us versus them mentality. And I think this is an area where a lot of Christians fail. We have this, we are going to help them attitude. And you see that in a lot of different ways. Our resources are going to help them. We are going to do whatever, fill in the blank, for them, whoever them is, you know. It's this us versus them. Ministry should be made up of hearing and seeing. We need to hear the needs. We need to listen to the stories. We need to hear the background. We need to understand the whole big picture of the situation. And then we need to see what other people are capable of doing. We need to see how we can work together, how the church can use other people, and not just us. Maybe God can use some of them to work with us and work on this together. Go back to that partnership idea that I talked about before, partnering with other people, not an us and them, or us against them, you know, us to them, but us and them coming together, working side by side, acknowledging one another's strengths and one another's weaknesses, because we've got weaknesses the same as everybody else, and working together to solve whatever it is that needs to be solved, to accomplish whatever it needs that needs to be accomplished. Sometimes, you know, these seminary kids are being sent on these trips, and they're seminary students. Students learn. Okay, when you were a student, you sat in school and you learned, whether you wanted to or not, probably. Or at least that was the goal. Some of you, I don't know, you know. But somehow, as we mature and we graduate from school, suddenly we think that we should be the teachers. You know, well, we did our time in school and we don't need to learn anymore. You know, now we can just teach. And that is terribly wrong. We should be lifelong learners. And we should continue with that learning process and not forget about that. I was in a setting a little bit ago, and there was some cultural differences within the group of people, right, relatively large group of people, and some cultural differences. And pretty much there was a divide, and so we're going to call them Group A and Group B, okay? And Group A felt that it was their responsibility to teach Group B, because obviously Group B needed to be taught. And their intentions were good. They really were. I don't want to make this sound like I'm saying anything bad about Group A, because their intentions really, honestly, were good. But they had this attitude of, we are going to teach you. Well, what does this mean for Group B? It tells Group B they're obviously not as good as Group A because they need to be taught. They can't handle this on their own. They need to be shown how to do this. You know, and that's what they're perceiving. And so as Christians, sometimes we really have to step back and think. You know, I walked out of that setting and I thought, you know, their intentions were so good. They really were. And they honestly did have good things that they could teach. But it just wasn't heard the way that they said it. You know, I had a college professor that said, every time you say something, you say four things. What you said, what you thought you said, what the person heard, and what the person thought they heard. And when communication works well, those are all the same thing. But most of the time, what's said isn't really what's meant or wasn't what was heard or, you know, it all kind of breaks down so often. And we've all, you know, said something and it either came out wrong or the person heard it different or, you know, whatever. And so Group A, they honestly meant well. They really did. But what they thought they were saying was not what Group B was hearing. And I thought, oh, you know, I was just so saddened by this. And I thought, you know, we need as Christians, we can't, I mean, there's always going to be misunderstanding. There's always going to be times it's like, you know. But we need to start putting ourselves in the other person's shoes and saying, okay, if I say this way, what are they probably, possibly, maybe going to hear? Is this going to come across the way I intend it to? Or is there a better way I could be doing this? Maybe instead of just saying, I'm going to teach you this. And I should maybe point out that Group B didn't know Group A all that well. And so, I mean, think about it from your own point of view. Somebody you don't know comes up and says, hey, this is how you need to be doing that. You're not going to take that really well because who are they to tell you that, you know? And so I just, you know, instead of saying, I need to show you how to do that, maybe we should be learning from them. Tell me why you're doing it that way. Tell me why you're interested in doing this at all. You know, start asking questions. Build up that relationship. Hear their story. Hear what they have to say. And then maybe we can understand. And through that relationship, maybe teach something. Or at least be an example. But this is a relationship. We need to remember that. We need to serve one another. And it's not effective when we say, you know, I'm doing this for you, or I'm doing this to you, or, you know, some of the stuff we do. But it's much more effective when you can come alongside somebody and say, let's do this together. Let's work on this together. I'll use my resources, you use your resources, let's put them together and see what we can accomplish here, rather than just, I'm going to do this for you, because you're obviously not capable of doing it on your own. Doesn't go nearly as well that way. We need to serve with people. Come alongside them. As Christians, we need to learn how to demonstrate the love of Christ to people without offending them. And I know sometimes that's hard. You don't intend to offend people, but we just need to be more aware of what we're saying, what we're doing, how it might be interpreted. You know, put ourselves in the other person's position and say, how would I feel if somebody said this to me? And then decide whether or not you're actually going to say it or not. kind of think and then speak instead of, you know, just speaking the way we so often do. Some things here that I thought were just, you know, it should be so obvious, but it wasn't. People are not projects. Sometimes we look at stuff and it's like, you know, we've got, you know, a VBS project, you know, or a caravan, you know, these kids are our project. People are not projects. Different service ministries, you know, I'm going to go do this, and we're doing this missions project. It's not a project. These are people made in God's image, loved by him. People are not goals. They are not end results of our work. You know, oh, my work got 6 people saved. No, that was the work of the Spirit. we need to watch our motivations when it comes to this. And we can't just see success the way the world does and say, well, you know, we added 6 more people into the ministry into the church because of this ministry. Okay, that's great, but that doesn't show the big picture. Success should be lives improved. How many people did we help? How many people are better off now because of what we did. Whether they're coming to the church or not, you know, they're on a journey. Maybe they just haven't hit that point. But has their life improved because of what was done? How much service was performed? How many things in the community? How many hours of conversation? Sometimes it takes a long time. You don't just walk in and save somebody. Sometimes that happens, and that's nice. Other times, it's a lifelong process. Hours and hours of telephone calls and emails and communication go into one person. How many hours of conversation have you invested in missions? How many goals were met through teamwork? Through what can we do to work together to reach this goal? These are the ways to see success, not necessarily in numbers. So, kind of my homework for you. Develop a passion for learning about people and find things to respect in everyone around you. There is always something respectable in everyone. Sometimes you have to look a little harder in some people, but it's there. It really is. Find a common ground and build those relationships. Develop a respect. Be open to new ideas. You know, when you work with the children or the teens or anybody different than you, you know, you need to be open to new ideas. You know, sometimes the teens come to me and they're like, hey, we think we should do it this way. And I think, well, maybe it'll work. Okay, let's try it. You know, my initial, you know, okay, let's see what happens. Be open. Other times they come to me and they say, we think we should do it this way. I'm like, no. you have to have, you know, some wisdom there too. But be open to new ideas. Be open to listening to them. Don't just turn people off. Say, nope, don't have time for that, or I'm not interested in that, or whatever. You know, listen to people. Hear what they have to say. Hear their stories. And more than anything else, if you don't get anything else, get this. Love. Love is the key to all of it. If you can exhibit God's love, you can change the world. Love in your speech, in your actions, in your gestures, in everything. Show God's love. And you can cross those cultural divides, no matter where they are, what they are, any of that. Love is the key. So I hope that you know, you'll think about some of this. Think about maybe how you're handling some people, maybe what you're saying, how they might be interpreting it. And in love, reach out and bless the people around you. So let's close with a word of prayer, and then you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your love that you showered down upon us. God, we so often are very ungrateful, and we are certainly never deserving, and yet you pour your love upon us. And God, in return, may we pour your love upon the people around us, even when they're not deserving, or when, you know, we're not totally pleased with everything. God, may your love just override the circumstances and the situations. And God, may your love just flow through us. May your light fill the dark places in the world, and may lives be changed. And may people be drawn closer to you through your working through us. God, we thank you for the blessing that it is to be one of your children. And God, we don't want to ever take that for granted. But we want to embrace that and live lives that are pleasing to you. And so, Lord, help us to go out and be the light and the salt and the love in the world that so desperately needs it. We just praise you today. In your name, amen. All right, have a good night.